I guess, generalizing the conversation this morning to not only the contents of that video, but more broadly speaking, some of the things that we see happening in society today. And I'm wondering, sort of to the point that one of our listeners had just made, what kind of behavioral patterns can form when children engage in these sorts of activities, whether playfully or whether seriously, at a very young age?
Right, so thank you so much for your question. You know, behavioral patterns that tend to form, you know, they differ from person to person. But one common one would be stealing, you know, because now remember they are young and they don't have money to sponsor the craving. Because remember, it starts as a playful, you know, behavior with friends and all of that, but then it becomes an addiction. So once they have this craving, they might start stealing, you know, and when you are stealing, you are obviously engaging in risky behaviors. So it's definitely stealing and risky behaviors, which also can start small, but then the long-term effects of it can last, I mean, throughout their lifespan.
Yeah. I guess the child is one thing. The risk of, I guess, early exposure to addiction or risk-taking behaviors in this particular instance, in this video that we're referring to from Nuclear in Johannesburg, it seems as if the child knows exactly what to do. They don't seem to, you know, to have, they don't look to be trying it for the first time. And I'm wondering if that could pose or place this child at risk for perhaps an existing addiction or addiction down the line.
Absolutely, absolutely. Any exposure increases the risk of nicotine addiction, and it opens the door for other risky behaviors, because remember, they now have started stealing already. So at some point, it feels normal, and then it continues like that. You know, once there is that addiction, there will be that need for them to constantly get themselves involved in risky behaviors with the stealing at the center of it all.
Yeah. What does it then say about parents and caregivers that would perhaps dismiss this behavior and perhaps are listening to the conversation and go, no, man, that's just a cute video.
Yeah. You know, some parents may see it as an innocent play or mimicry, not realizing the long-term consequences. And others may be desensitized to smoking themselves. These are caregivers and parents now. And they might underestimate the impact on a child, you know, just looking at the bigger picture now.
Yeah. In many ways, I'm wondering also, you know, the conversation around kids as innocent and as vulnerable as they are to influence. They would sit around parents and they watch. I think anyone that has had young kids who are now grown up or perhaps have had or now have young kids will tell you that they mirror the behavior that they see. They repeat the words that they hear used in the home, for example, or the phrases that they hear used in the home. And again, I'm wondering if you think parents quite understand the extent to which their behavior influences their children, more broadly speaking.
This is a tricky one. This is a tricky one because the more parents are chilled about it, it sort of sends a message that dangerous behavior is entertaining or acceptable, and that that approval, it sticks with these children and shape how they seek attention or cope with stress later on in life. So it really seems harmless initially, but the long-term effects of it can be detrimental. I hope I'm hearing well. I'm hearing well.
Yeah. That being said, so we've spoken obviously around the impact on the child. Can within question perhaps the mental state of parents, or is that perhaps something that requires a bit more further detail? Because certainly, I mean, as a parent, you want the best for your child, and you know, you know, these sorts of things are not necessarily the best for your child.
Of course. Sorry, I missed your question there.
Can we read into, I guess, the mental state or well-being of the parents when they engage in these sorts of, I guess, what they term would be cute videos?
The mental state as a parent?
Yeah.
You know, as a nation, we have sort of normalized what is abnormal, you know? So as parents, we don't have centers where we are trained on how to parent effectively. So one of these things, you know, is usually an indicator that there might be a need for parents to get, you know, training or workshops on skills to parent the children properly. Because we as parents, especially the younger parents, we tend to blur the line between being available for your children or to your children emotionally and befriending them in hopes that they won't disappoint you. But by doing so, we are sort of really blurring the line, and we are encouraging something that can be of detriment to our kids. So we're trying to be cool as parents. We're trying to be acceptable in hopes of getting them or winning them over, but we don't really realize that at some point we need to draw a line to say this is acceptable and this is not acceptable. And another thing that we tend to forget is that we will not always be around, because yes, we are cushioning our kids now. We are just protecting them while we are perpetuating an abnormal or something that is unacceptable, not realizing that we will not always be around, you know, to protect them or to shield them or to cushion them. You know, we don't think that far. We just think, okay, you know, it's something small, it's cute, it's okay. You know, at least my child can now trust me because they can do 1, 2, and 3 in my presence. But we don't necessarily think about the long-term effect of it.
Yeah. And perhaps there's also the conversation to be had around, you know, parents often in today's day and age using language like, I want to be my child's friend, or I want to my child and, you know, to have a good relationship in that sense. And often that seems to be, I guess, versus the traditional and old school way of parenting, a new approach and something that perhaps speaks to trauma in and of itself. But if not carefully managed, you know, it could risk arguably what you're just defining right now.
Pardon? Sorry, I missed you on my side.
It could essentially lead to what you're defining right now in terms of a circumstance in which the lines are not clear.
Yeah, the lines are not clear. You know, some of us, myself included, I'm still adopting that old school traditional way of parenting where I can be friends, I can be cool with my kid, but my kid has to know that I'm a parent. You know what I mean? But now with the younger generation of parents, it's I don't know what it is. It's that influence, and mostly it comes from the interaction and from the social media, you know, with us trying to adopt, you know, acculturation. We are here, I'm this race, but I'm seeing something that's cool from the other race and I want to act cool. Meanwhile, I lose my roots in the process, and the way that I do things lacks depth, you know, because I don't understand why the other race is doing things the way they do things. So I think we are missing the traditional way of parenting, which I think and I believe still has a place in this day and age even.
Yeah.
So we are just so engrossed in social media, we're copying. Like, I think the point I'm trying to make is that acculturation has a lot to do with what we are seeing today. Because for some races, you know, those things are fine. Mm. You find parents, you know, sitting on the table, having wine with the little ones, and smoking also happens like that. But for some cultures, we can still raise up and say, we can still rise up and say there's still a place for traditional method of parenting.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm making sense.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Because it's cool. It's all for the social media most of the time. It's all for that. It's all for entertainment. But we are not really seeing the bigger picture to say, okay, you've done it, you've posted it, it looks cool. You're doing this with your little one, but then what? You know, what happens when you're no longer around? What happens to this child? Especially when you think about the addiction aspect of it. The craving will forever be there, and what will your little one do when you're no longer around, when they need to feed this craving?
Yeah.
So it starts as a playful, you know, way of doing things, but in the long run, it becomes a problem. You know, once it becomes addiction, then it's a problem because someone will need to be there to sponsor that addiction.